Welcome everybody to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris
and Jonathan.
So we had an interesting day today. We just came back from a service for our uncle.
Rest in peace.
You know, Paul Carey. He was
All-American track star at USC.
Yeah, like in the 70s.
Back in the 70s. So do some of your research, pull up that name, and you will see all the accolades that were given to him. He was a good guy, and it was a great service today for him.
Yeah, so we're feeling good, and I hope y'all feeling good as well.
Hope y'all having good days out there. You know, we've had a little bit of rain out here, but that's good. Need some of this green to grow. And man, sports has just been, you know what, in sports and out here in LA, it's just been kind of, it's weird. It's such a weird feeling out here because the Lakers just aren't, you know what, I don't know. Maybe it's just because in all my years of existence, which would be, what, 27 years, I don't think I've ever remembered the Lakers being this bad. Of a team, and it feels weird because you kind of see them playing, and it's like your expectation is almost like they're gonna lose. So what? And it's weird to think that way, but that just seems to be the way cats is thinking out here. Like, oh, okay, well, like I said, the number one question when you're thinking about the Lakers now is how much are they losing by? It's weird.
They did end the scale last night against Utah at home.
They pulled out a nice one against Utah.
Which was their best win of the season.
Under Mike D'Antoni. Under Benny Bickerstaff. They played pretty well. Right. So, I mean, just for Mike D'Antoni's sake, yes, this was the best game for him and his team. And it all started because Mr. I lead the league in shots by a wide margin, actually decided to get his other teammates involved, and it was a team victory. Kobe almost had a triple-double in the game. Came one assist shy, I believe, of a triple-double.
Yeah, 14. He was one rebound shy.
Yeah,
and he was one assist away from his career high of 15 assists.
Which is crazy.
And only 10 shots. But, I mean, look, Steve Nash had 11 shots,
wow,
15 points, only 2 assists, but Kobe was the facilitator. As Pau Gasol said, the scoring machine decided to be the facilitator tonight. Wow. Dwight Howard, 12 shots,
wow,
17 and 13 boards, only 3 times at the line. That wasn't smart of Utah.
Foul him all the time.
You know, Metawell Peace, 16 shots,
what?
11 of them threes. But
he only hit 5 of them.
But 17 points, you know, even Pau Gasol. 7-8 shots, 7 of 8, 7
boards. So you are telling me
5 guys in double figures.
Wow, you are telling me that Kobe Bryant, Mr. I Shoot It All, was the fourth leading as far as shot attempts. That is finally, in my opinion, a testimony to Kobe. Kobe, you're finally starting. It looks like you're finally starting to get it. You got to get everybody else involved. Teams got to win team victories. Dude, you have to trust your teammates. Even if you pass them the ball and they miss a shot, keep feeding them, dude. We all know you are a great scorer, one of the best scorers to ever play in the league of all time. But for that fact alone, we know you can take over a game. Get your teammates involved. If they ain't shooting well and they're missing some shots, give him a confidence booster and give him the ball back again and let him shoot again. You know, that's what's going to build confidence for your teammates. If they see, oh, I miss one and I'm not getting the ball back, then what is that going to say to them? It's like, well, I have to make it. Otherwise, I'm not going to get another shot.
You have, just because he's leading the league in scoring at his age.
And shot attempts.
At a point where.
And shot attempts.
He has two centers, as I, you know, Pau Gasol, yes, he's a center in this game. He has basically two big men who together could give the Lakers 50 points.
Yep.
You don't need to lead the league in scoring.
They did a good job. They played solid defense against Utah, and they won. It's one of the first games I've ever seen them actually play some solid D, and it actually came against a, you know, not the best team. It's not one of the better teams of the league. But they are an above average team.
Yeah, they've beaten the Lakers this season. They're a quality team. They can match up size wise with the Lakers. The Lakers just came out and got a solid win, and you hope that this can be I knew this word
because they do play Oklahoma City this weekend, so that's another L.
Yeah, quotations, the springboard. I mean, I was like, this word is going to get used all day. Is this the springboard game?
Did the season start last night?
Apparently.
That's when the real season started last night.
Look, I mean, after All-Star break is when it's reality check.
Yep.
To me, I've felt like if Lakers can go to the All-Star game as close to 500 as possible, that's all they need. And then they can win. Yeah, right. Now, ain't no need to crap on the team. Well, shit, ain't reason to shit on the teams that are in front of them and saying they're not that great. I'm like, well, y'all not that great either. You're supposed to be great on paper, but paper don't play them games. There ain't no
such thing as paper champions.
Nope. So, solid win.
Kudos.
If I'm a Laker fan, I would say I would at least like to have a competitive game, and if we lose by like five, like if it's under a minute left and we have a chance to win the game, I'm cool. Like, all right. Oklahoma City is better than y'all. You know?
Oh, yeah, without question.
Yeah. Of course they are. I mean,
without question.
Even with this whole little lineup and all the hype, I was like, they're not better than Oklahoma City.
And people were putting them ahead of Oklahoma City, and that is just clear disrespect.
Yeah. And that was pre-Harden trade.
That is clear disrespect. So Oklahoma City's just been handling their business, right.
But you need to. This is a championship team that you got to play, and you need to show that. Are you serious, or are you just another? Are they going to beat your ass again?
This is where you can have maybe a quote unquote, a moral loss where you actually, if it's like Kurt said, if it's a close loss and they lose by about 3 to 5 points, then you say, okay, elite, we put up a good fight against probably, arguably the best team in the league. But if they sit here and they get shellacked by 20 points, it's going to just be like, well, nothing's changed. So prove something to me, Lakers. You won one game. Kudos to you for that win, but it's one game. So we'll see what happens in the next five. That'll determine.
Shit, that's what it's all about?
Yep.
Anyways, and of course, we got the All-Star game coming up soon.
And I know a lot of people are going to have issues with the rosters and with the reserves that were picked, but I personally felt like this was one of the better years of All-Star selections. And I felt like you could make an argument for each and every person that made it on the team. Well, the bench. Starters, they're voted by the fans, so God knows who could start. Yeah.
Now, Jonathan hates that.
Hate it.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I'm like, it's a popularity contest. And most of the time, they get 80% right. There's just usually one position. And now that there's no center, which I don't like, I wasn't cool with that. Like, leave the center alone. Just because you feel like it's not many. There are centers in the league.
There's
Joakim Noah should have started. We can look at it right now. All right, you got on the East.
Mm-hmm.
You got LeBron James, Carmelo.
Of course.
Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo.
Yes.
And Kevin Garnett. I would not have picked Garnett. I don't even know if Garnett
would not have gotten picked if it was still centers.
He's qualified as center. So he got picked by vote. But
that's who they want to see.
I don't know. I like KG, but it's just a lack of big men. It's like that. But so he probably would have made it. Kyrie Irving, Drew Holiday, Tyson Chandler, mm-hmm. Joakim Noah,
yep.
Luol Deng,
yes,
Paul
sir.
George,
mm-hmm.
Chris Bosh. Are there any people that you are questionable about making the team?
I guess the one you could throw out on the bench is Chris Bosh. Because for the simple fact that Miami has been, if for lack of a better term, a laughing stock in the league when it comes to rebounding. And Chris Bosh is, their best big man. So when you look at it as far as a rebounding perspective, you almost feel like he made it more so based on reputation more than what he's doing this year, because
Miami has been getting eaten alive when it comes to the glass, and big men are eating their other big men alive. So he's the one, I guess, where you could say, no. I don't know if he necessarily deserved
no, to be like, on the team. I have my two snubs that I think should have been on there. Well, one, clearly. I'm surprised you didn't bring him up, especially because it's Brook Lopez.
Brook Lopez should have probably replaced Chris Bosh.
Brook Lopez should have
made the team.
Brook Lopez could arguably should have starting center at the team. Or him, or Jockey, if not what yo dude.
Beasting.
But, you know, the fact that Josh Smith didn't, nobody from Atlanta made it.
It's.
I mean, but you got, what, two guys from the Celtics who are not a great team.
Nope. Well, Rondo does deserve to make it to be on the team.
No, Luol Deng, I don't know if I pick Luol.
He leads the league in minutes played. And let me, he deserves to be, if you're talking about all-star, yes, he is an all-star. He deserves to play. He always guards the player's best perimeter. He always guards the best perimeter player, plays both ways, has been carrying the load offensively since Derrick Rose has been gone from Jump Street. He's been the number one option.
It's just
Noah has just really blossomed this year, so he's kind of got more of the hype.
Right.
But Luol Deng's doing the same thing he did last year when he made the All-Star team. So why not?
Of course, he's worthy of a repeat.
You dang right.
But I mean,
especially with the Bulls in contention without Derrick Rose.
Like right now, Miami is third. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. Miami's first, but Miami has three guys in.
Chicago's third.
Yeah, Chicago's third. New York is second.
New York is second.
They got two guys in.
As they should.
Chicago has two guys in.
As they should.
Brooklyn has none.
Which is terrible.
And part of it is Darren Williams has been underperforming ever since he got traded. He arguably, to me, is a top 3 point guard when he's on his game and everything, but he's not.
Personally, I think he's top two. I think it's between him and Chris Paul.
Mm.
Personally.
Yeah, that's in the league. So, now you don't even include your boy Derrick Rose in there.
Well, Derrick Rose is hurt right now, so honestly, with Derrick Rose, I have to see him come back from this injury. If Derrick Rose comes back and is the Derrick Rose he was when he left, he's the second best point guard in the league behind Chris Paul.
Okay.
But if he comes back and he's, you know, struggling, he's not as explosive, then you gotta say, you know, maybe the injury sapped him a little bit. But so you have to see. I have to see.
Yeah, because Darren Williams just screwed that up.
Yeah.
You know, Indiana, because Paul George has been
deserved to make it. He definitely had to be on the team. He would have been a huge snub if he didn't make it. He's carrying that team.
In Atlanta, six. Nobody. Milwaukee, you could maybe Brandon Jennings, but not over. I wouldn't put him over Kyrie Irving.
They haven't done enough, and they started to slide. They were in first, and now you see that Chicago and Indiana have taken over the first and second spots in that division. So they're on a little bit of a slide. Scott Skiles got fired. So there's a lot going on in Milwaukee, so that's why I think, you know, both of them weren't chosen.
It's funny. The guard situation is funny because, yeah, like you said, no Derrick Rose. I'm looking at no Derrick Rose.
That just opened the spot.
Brandon Jennings could be. You know, Drew Holiday made it.
He should have made it.
Kyrie Irving made it. And, you know, even John Wall could. John Wall could have if he was
Kyrie
happy.
Irving, only because Cleveland is so sorry.
Yeah,
but he's beasted.
Yeah, I count the team success. So I can't be like that.
I mean, so it's weird.
Weird. But Brook Lopez should have made it for real. So, all right, and then out west, of course, we got Kobe Bryant, his 15th appearance.
Of course, yeah, we knew.
Kevin Durant is locked in.
Of course.
Chris Paul locked in. Blake Griffin.
Of course.
And Dwight Howard.
Of course.
Yeah.
There ain't no other centers on the West. Of course, he has to start.
No, he's there. He just didn't. He ain't played as well as Marc Gasol, who ain't make it.
Snub.
But yeah, you got Westbrook,
of course.
James Harden,
of course.
So
it'd
have been three Oklahoma City dudes anyway. You know, my man Tim Duncan.
He deserved to make it.
Yes,
he earned his All Star.
I'm sorry. If we're gonna do the whole, we don't need centers in the league. I mean, we know centers in the All Star. He should have been voted in starting over Dwight Howard.
But we all know that ain't going to happen.
That's bull.
This is, and
for,
you see,
for fan voting, that's why I'm mad.
Thank you for giving me my argument why I don't like the fan voting. Because guys who should be starting, they don't ever start. We're going to pick Dwight Howard just because he's Dwight Howard. But the Spurs are number two in the West. Oh, it doesn't matter. Tim Duncan is old. He's boring. Tim Duncan don't get alley oops. He don't. He's not Lob City, so we don't want to see that. He's fundamentals. Mm. That's boring.
Especially this year. This year specifically, because the fact of Dwight Howard not playing well. I mean, although Dwight Howard still is, he's been in his numbers leading the league of rebound and stuff. But you know, like we take records into consideration.
Yep. I mean, you look at the West.
Shoot, Spurs number two.
Look at the West. Come on. You look at the West. Everybody on this team is in the playoffs, except for the Laker players. Every single player. Tony Parker's on the team as well.
Well, not LaMarcus Aldridge.
Well, Portland, they're still
in contention. They're on the screen. They have a game behind. Kevin Love would have made it, but he's hurt. And Lakers got two starters. Although Kobe was going to get in.
Kobe's leading the league and everything.
Dirk could have made it with his team.
Dirk was out too long.
Yeah.
Dirk didn't come back in
enough. Yeah, but who else? I mean, yeah, Tony Parker made it. Mm-hmm. Marcus Aldridge. David Lee.
Yep. David Lee. Zach Randolph. I love it. You know? Hey, Zach Randolph's been playing. He's been a little under the radar.
I don't know if I would have picked him over Marcus Aldridge. If I was going to represent Memphis.
It's hard.
And, you know, for Stephen Curry, I think that was just because of, I guess, position.
Because I wouldn't. Too many guards.
He wouldn't have gotten picked over Westbrook or Harden. You know, people argue for Tony Parker. Of course, I'm going to say, hell no. Tony Parker is better than Stephen Curry. Curry is balling, though. Stephen Curry deserves to be an all-star, but, you know, sometimes you got to pick
Will do great in the three-point shootout. He will win.
Yeah, if he keeps playing like this, he'll get in for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll be in there next year probably.
I mean, David Lee is just stepping the hell up. David Lee
beasting.
Giving you a double-double.
One of the most underrated, if not the most underrated player in the game.
Especially knowing that they didn't have a...
All I do is get double-double. It's all I do.
You know, Andrew Bogut out. And he's had to be the post, dude. And
beast! Oh, New York.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge.
I'm sorry. LaMarcus Aldridge's been playing. Yeah, man. You could argue LaMarcus Aldridge is the best big man in the game.
Yeah, he's not having his best season right now. No.
And Damian Lillard's, you know, been taking over a little bit of the shine. So is Nicholas Batum, since he's been balling this year. So, you know, but LaMarcus Aldridge, of course, the coaches didn't forget. So, you know, he's balling.
Yeah. So, you know, the team works. And, you know, I mean, Serge Ibaka could have made it. Why did I forget one from here? Do the Clippers deserve three people? Because people will argue about Jamal Crawford. Maybe he should have made it.
It's hard. It really is difficult when you have a guy who all he does is score. Like, he does nothing else. Like, it's not like you can rely. He's not giving you five assists. It's no boards, no D, really. All he's coming in to do is just chugging up shots and making them. Like, that's why it's hard. That's why for people like J.R. Smith, it's hard because it's like all he's doing is shooting the ball and scoring. It's not like you're relying on him for rebounding or defense or anything else.
Yeah.
You're relying on him to be that punch off the bench to give you points. So could I see like a James Harden, you know, if he was still coming off the bench in Oklahoma City? Yes.
Yeah, he's
averaging like five boards, five assists, giving you 18 points a game off the bench. You know, so yes. But when you're coming off averaging 20 points and one board and one assist, it's like, no. All you're doing is scoring. I'm like, no, for what? So, no. No. I can't make an argument for Jamal Crawford. So, it's Chris Paul, Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I mean,
those are your all-stars. Everybody else is role players.
Oklahoma City got two. San Antonio got two. Yeah. Clippers got two. Memphis won. Golden State won.
Mm-hmm.
Denver... They just, I don't know.
Denver's a very balanced team.
Ty Lawson had his best year.
Again, by position.
Yeah.
There's too many guards. And then they're very balanced. They don't have that one all-star dude. I mean, you could argue it's Ty Lawson, but they don't have that superstar.
Right.
Everybody plays a role. Everybody's balanced. So, I mean, it's hard to pick one for them.
Same with Utah.
Same with Utah.
You know, Houston, Jeremy Lin almost got in. He would have thrown everything off.
Should have seen my face right now when I heard that name, Jeremy Lin. If he made the All-Star team,
it would have cost Tony Parker a position.
Would have gone insane. Like, are you kidding? Really? That's why I don't like fan voting. is Jeremy Lin almost started.
Rick, come on.
All right, now I'm sure he'll probably do that little the skills challenge in Houston since he's a Houston native. He's playing in Houston.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll in some way find a way to incorporate him. We want that money. We want them. We want the Asian.
Yeah, you put.
We want the Asian nation to you host. So yes,
you hosting the All-Star.
Why they had Gail Ming? Like yes, we want y'all watching. We want that money. Of course, but will he win the skills contest? I don't think so. I put my points on whoever else is going to be in the contest. But I think it'll be a fun time. I hope and pray. I'm a little nervous about the slam dunk contest. It has gone from one of the best things that All-Star Weekend was about to now it's become one of the worst gimmicky. It's like a circus almost. It's not even worth watching anymore because everything's the same. Nobody tries nothing different. Yeah, Blake Griffin who like jumped over the front hood of a car. Like that don't impress me, man.
But you have to sell it. That's part of it. You got to sell it.
So, hope when we find out who's getting picked for the dunk contest. I don't know who's playing in the dunk contest, we don't know all but yet. Once we find out, God help me. I hope it is some like dunkers. I don't want these like Serge Ibaka, dude. Yeah, he's a good player. He ain't no dunker, like, give me a dunker. Give me Gerald Green again, please. Something. Give me somebody who I know is just going
to... Who's going to try?
Damn, I'm going to try something nuts.
But then they forced that rule where they got to be a certain age. I know he wants to keep it younger. You know what? I don't know if any... Tell me, y'all, if y'all remember this. Hit me up. I remember when the dunk contest and the three-point contest, when they had more people, it was like three rounds. You'd have two people shooting on the same one on one side and one to the other. I missed that. The dunk contest, you had three rounds. The problem is you can only do so much.
Didn't they have a point where they limited how many dunks they could do? Like now you can
just, it was just a dunk. You had like it was three rounds and I think you got like
three chances, right?
Yeah, it was one. Or either they did it. Either they had two dunks, but it wasn't like.
It wasn't. You can keep going.
Oh, no, it was one. You had one. It was like you had one. I'm trying to think. Did they have it where you could keep going? I think guys had another chance, but
I think after like three chances,
but dudes
like,
are usually
they would have the third one. They do something just all right. I just need to get something off.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
But now I still remember the whole Nate Robinson debacle where he went like 20 times and then finally did it and won.
Yeah, I was pissed at that.
Like,
because Iguodala did some hot shit and he only took. He did
the side of the backboard. Like, what? Come on.
Right. And he did that in the first round. I'm like, well, you got to do the good shit to get in. And then the dunk he did, the second one was sick. And I think he didn't hit it the first time. He came back and did it the same. It was hot. And that's the one Nate Robinson took forever, and then he dunked
the legs, and it was like, oh, because he's little, we got to get it to him. Oh, bullshit. Come on, this ain't Spud Webb. Like, Spud Webb was yamming. This ain't Spud Webb. Come on. So, I have a feeling you might see Jimmy Butler. Yeah, put that fool on it.
And see, the NBA doesn't want you to use props because you might get hurt, and I feel that. Well, part of me feels like, at some point, just bring in the street ballers,
let them do the dunk contest. Yeah,
do the ones who are just incorporate something between them. Well, they alley oop to each other or something. Bring them something in the game. I mean, I know they don't want to because they don't feel like they're gonna try to show up the players, but you're not letting them. You can only let them do so much. They can try and practice it, but if so much pressure that if you try it and you miss it the first time, people are like, oh, okay, now
plus
we don't
we
care.
We know these guys from N1, they do this all the time.
They're
always lobbing. They're always doing crazy stuff to get the crowd going. Man. So that's what the All-Star Game is about anyway. Right. You want the crowd to be in it. You want the players to be in it and have fun.
Right. The NBA wasn't dunking, forever. Fools weren't allowed to dunk back in the day, like way back in the day. So Dr. J came and set the tone, that era. And then when you had the early 80s,
you had the Jordan
and all them, Larry Nance. Yeah, big dudes dunking. And it was just flair, but people weren't doing, like, at that time, you weren't doing Vince Carter dunks.
No. And Vince Carter really, to me, is the one who kind of, who took it to another level.
He almost closed the door. This was a dude that was like, he was like, that's the end. When he set that mark, that was like,
there's no way anybody could top that. Putting your whole arm in the rim, where it's just like, it was like, what? Yeah. It blew your mind because you have never, yeah. You've seen Vince Carter dunk on people, but when you saw what he did in the dunk contest, you were just like, this fool can just yam.
Yeah. The 360.
The 360 windmill? The legs windmill, like, and he made it look so easy.
No.
It was just like.
It was pretty, and then he put that oomph on when he dunked, and you were like, oh, shit.
But then you had T-Mac in the dunk contest. I want LeBron James to get your ass in the dunk contest. No. Like, I want to see.
He needed to do it in his first, like, three, 4 years.
I
want to
see, man.
I don't want to see him do it now. The fact that he's. The first time it was brought up that he considered it and was like, no, I don't want to do it. Like, all right, that's it. If you don't do it in your first 3 years and he's that kind of superstar, no, because at some point you're going to be like,
I'm too good for it.
Right. I'm not that young dude who is just fun. Like, all right, now I want to win a championship. I got to get
some. We'll have some rookies and no names in it, apparently, that nobody knows about.
I don't care about the name to me. Just entertain me.
Yeah.
You can be the 10th man on the bench. If you can dunk and put, you know,
get some shoes, yeah.
Then, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm supporting you. You choose to get in and you want to show up. I respect you. Let me see what you can do.
Yep.
You know, but we'll see all that. Houston, get your money ready. You know, yep. James Harden going to be spending.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Strip club's going to be packed.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, y'all. We'll be back. You're listening to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Before the Greeks and the Creeks, the old P-Rock clapping, nigga. Yo, before the Greeks and the Creeks, before you could stand, before your hands from your feet, from a band or a beat, we would stand on the street with our hands on our knees. 12 grams, 12 feet away, balled up in a sheet, a Reynolds rap. What's back? Need your dental back. Your voice get quiet like the voice in the instrumental track. Sick from the litmus, son, sick of citrus. My voice unfolds with the soul of the whispers. On the block, we rock loud like the pistols. Up in the crib, my wind drinking the Harvey's Bristol. Natural flavor, yours be artificial. I blow holes in skin like big nose, who's not tissue. They go berserk when the dollar bill is on. The thrill is gone, upgrade to the silicone. That's worth the 4,800,000,000. It's not official till I smack the devil you silly on. From the valleys of Ohio to the sands of Cairo, still hit like the whirlwind King of Rio. Zigzag, zigzag, still puzzled like the jigsaw. You be negged, you get jigsaw. Beat Rock exclusive.
We bogard the road like trucks on a turnpike. Smoke by the load just to see what it burns like. Architectural design, intellectual rhyme, the bishop strike. Moving on a diagonal line, the rooks trap. Scholars, they want the books back. The peace, they turn assault the moment they look back. The castle in position made weak by a wing pawn. Knights lose armor from the pressure we bring on. They fired all these shots in the rhymes with mad flares. Kept a cramped game, many posted on bad squares. The king's the kick, the queen's the snare. The bass are minor pieces that move in a pair. Quick to break through, an unparalleled opponent. I do it on a regular, at any given moment. Check the venue, those who make the saga continue. Before you check the credits, the swords is all in you. It's real, it's real.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. If you have any questions you want us to answer on the show, you guys can hit us up in a number of ways. You can email the show, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslehman. Or you can leave a message on the Happy Hour hotline, 323-455-4219.
Hit us up. Anything y'all want to know, if y'all got some questions, critiques, anything. If y'all just want to know what to do with y'all fantasy teams, if y'all want to know... You know, you got some beef, you got some venting you want to do about the Lakers, about your teams, how whack they are, how good they are. Hey, hit us up and let us know. We'll respond and let you know what we think.
That's right. The Pro Bowl is here tomorrow. Are we watching it?
When's the Super Bowl?
Next week, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters, exactly. You know what? The Pro Bowl is one of those things where it's almost run down into the ground now where nobody cares anymore. Me personally, I'm on the level of if you really want to make the Pro Bowl a little bit more entertaining, do what the NBA did a few years back. Incorporate like some skill challenges. Quarterbacks, arm strength, accuracy, things like that. You know, catching the ball, whatever it may be. I know they have, you know, they have these things. I know during the offseason where quarterbacks, you know, participate in these kinds of things. Do that for the Pro Bowl. You know, and have a Peyton Manning against the Aaron Rodgers, you know, showing off their accuracy and things like that. And have, you know, let's see A.J. Green and Calvin Johnson. Who's faster? Race or something, you know, it just entertainment. Who? Nobody wants to see a football game that's just a regular football game with all-stars. Nobody cares anymore. Yeah, plus the players don't seem to care anymore.
No, to me, that thing is just a trip. I'd be like, hey, I get to go to Hawaii on the NFL's bill.
That's all they care about. Yeah,
I'll take a trip to Hawaii. I
get to go with my family and take my family to Hawaii, and we get to chill for free.
Yeah, we get to hang out with some other players. And
they fans.
Here's my thing that is hard for me to work with the Pro Bowl is the defense can't step up. And I know how it's, you know, I know with the NBA and all them, you don't really play defense like that. Baseball, I think you can because that's – That's part of the game.
It dictates home field advantage.
Right.
We've already had that discussion.
Yeah. But the Pro Bowl, I'm like, you don't want the defensive players to go hard. I mean, they can't touch anyway. And I'm like, we don't want to hurt anybody, so let's just make it a high-scoring game so they don't get to show off. You know, if it's a guy who gets sacks, well, we don't want you getting sacks.
So it's like, well, then why am I here?
Nobody wants to play in that.
If it was more competitive, maybe you'd have more people watch.
Now, I feel you on the other little competitions, like having a throwing competition.
Yeah, let's race like Chris Johnson against Calvin Johnson. Let's see who's faster. Like, things like that. Who you'll draw attention to people say, you know what? I do want to know who's faster. Let's see these fools race. Or let's see who's a little bit more accurate.
You know, or throwing down the field to your player.
Who can throw the hardest? Who can throw the farthest? Let's see who can make the most acrobatic catch. Right. Like,
like route running where you like, let's air it out.
Let's just air it out and see, let's do a dive or something. Dive for the ball and see who can. Something. Right. Just something else.
You know, have something with the kickers. Like, all right, who can kick the longest field goal right now? Hey, you know, NFL, and like that.
NFL, I know y'all have that rule about taping. If y'all steal my idea, I want money for it. Y'all start getting skills competition for that Pro Bowl. I thought of it first. Give me the money. You heard it here.
Yeah, and if they want to cancel it,
it's hard because you have those guys like a Peyton Manning who came out and said he wants his guys to play hard, you know, who really actually genuinely do care about the Pro Bowl. They look at it as an honor to be there, and they want to make a good showing for the fans. So it's hard.
Yeah, if you're going to give these guys the accolade at the end of the year with some reception like, oh, you're Pro Bowl, I mean, you're the All-Pro player of the year and just no event, I can deal with that. If you're like, these would be the guys, if we had a game, y'all would make it.
The other thing that makes it hard is that the Super Bowl is the next week.
Right.
So the city's already preparing for the Super Bowl. You got people who are already leaving to go out there for the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl, let's be honest, is like a week-long event.
Right.
Leading up to the Super Bowl. Yeah. You have players out there, you know. Media asked them all kind of ridiculous questions, whatever. You know, they fans meet the players. It's an event.
Yeah, from Sunday to Sunday.
Sunday to Sunday.
It's the biggest one-day sporting event.
Which means it's starting today, which means the Pro Bowl starts today. So nobody cares about the Pro Bowl. That's the thing. If you're going to do the Pro Bowl, they're going to have to pick a different time to do it. Do it. I don't know if
they moved it after
the Super Bowl.
Because nobody cares.
Because nobody cares and nobody wants to play in it. So, it's almost too short to be like... Yeah. So, you almost want to say, should we do it? But you don't want to do it before the playoffs because you don't want nobody to get hurt and risk injury.
You can
do it
halfway through the season, but then it only be for dudes who are balling halfway
through the season.
First eight games.
Like, well, what about these guys after the season? Like, so, it's hard.
Yeah.
That's why I say get the skills comps in there. That at least will draw a little bit more people to actually watch it. If you still, and you know what, if you do the skills comp and do away with the game itself, you know that's another option you have. Just do away with the game, you know, and just go with, you know, competitions, skills competitions. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, on to the real game.
Exactly, the Super Bowl.
Man,
golly, I never like to pat myself on the back. Yes, I do, but. I called those games, baby. I called them. I said I felt the Ravens would beat Baltimore. Listed my reasons why. They came out, beat them. They didn't dominate. They beat them, though. You know, outplayed the Patriots. Got that W and on the way to the Super Bowl. Ray Lewis, baby. Once again. Ray Lewis is a man on a mission. I would say it again. He wants one before he leaves. This team wants it, but Ray Lewis wants it.
Yes, his last go around.
He wants it.
But they came, man. That hey, second guys, half Joe just Flacco, shut them down 21-0.
Joe Flacco. Got to give some love to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is earning his money. He is really earning his money. And if he gets that Super Bowl, I know a lot of people do not think much very highly of Joe Flacco. Don't think he's an elite quarterback. But if he does come out and win this Super Bowl, considering the way he's kind of carried them a little bit throughout the playoffs, yeah, y'all going to have to hush. You may not call him elite, but damn it, he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And that's just what it is.
Right.
So
nobody said you had to be elite to win a Super Bowl. Exactly.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl back with the Ravens back in 2000. So, I mean, if you're a good quarterback, you're a good quarterback. If you have a good team, that's what it's going to take to win the Super Bowl. It's never individual. No. It's a team sport.
A quarterback may get all the praise, and that's the popular position, but so what? You know, exactly. Ray Lewis was
Ray
star.
Lewis is going to get the praise and population out of this one. If they win the Super Bowl, Ray Lewis will get all the
love. Yeah, because he's going to be the media attention guy.
At like, it was because of his heart. It's because of his charisma and all that, and his courage and coming back from an injury, and he rallied the team.
Come on, leads him in sacks again with 14 in that game.
Oh, tackles, you mean?
Yeah, 14 tackles.
So, hey, he's a man on a mission. He wants it.
Yeah.
He wants it.
You know, he's a leader. And everybody, you know, football.
He is a leader.
They don't miss him. Okay, except God. For, Wes Welker's wife.
You know what?
Hold up. Shout out to Mr. Moody for asking this question. He came out and hit me up. We was talking. He wanted our opinion as to what we thought of all this bringing up Ray Lewis's past.
I think she truly crossed the line. I thought we lived in a country of second chances. Somebody makes a mistake, they pay their debts, they move on from it. Look, she crossed the line big time.
Very.
And especially coming from the New England Patriots, where all they do is preach, well, we have class this and class that, not to mention that Tom Brady sliding, trying to kick Ed Reed in the nuts.
Yeah,
that's besides the point.
I was having a flashback of dude sliding against Jackie Robinson. Like, exactly. I'm going to put my knee. I was like, whoa, quarterbacks don't do that.
That's besides the point.
That's a defensive move.
Exactly.
And, you know, whether they should have fined him or not, Ed Reed is, you know, he was like, all right, whatever.
That was a nut kick. That's what that was. That was.
You saw him coming and he was like, I'm supposed to spike the dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my spikes into you, like for
come
real.
Come on, man. Like, what well, he gonna Ed like? He's gonna come to down and hit you.
Miraculous jump. He jumped out of the way and missed it. But
they know the rules by now. They're protecting y'all. If you slide and feet first, they can't hit you.
Exactly.
So they would have just. And it's Ed Reed. It's not some second year guy.
Yeah, some guy. It's somebody you play against constantly all the time. You know how to play.
Pick your butt up and be like, you better slide.
Yeah, exactly. He'll talk crap to you, but come on, man. Hypothetically, you could have hurt Ed Reed. Could have hurt yourself.
Right.
You know, we already know. We know you jacked your knee up that one year. Who knows if you could have did it again. But that's besides the point. So, moving on back to Wes Welker's wife. I was shocked when I read what she said about Ray Lewis. I was really like, you really said that? Like, I know Wes Welker went to his wife and was like, what the hell is wrong with you? Because to bring up the fact that there's, you know, yes, he has...
Yeah, the chicken back. Basically, his last Super Bowl.
He had the whole murder issue and the murder charge. And then he has a lot of kids from different wives and things of that nature. But to sit here and really berate him and try to belittle him just because your husband's team lost is, you know, that makes you look like the ignorant one. Seriously. We have to get beyond, you know, what these guys have done, you know. This was years ago. This is not something that happened last year. I can understand if this was recent, something that happened months ago or like years ago or like a year ago. But the fact that this is years and years and years ago, it shouldn't even be brought up anymore. It should be over and
done. I'm sorry. Look, I'm going to just say how I'm going to say it. Tupac said, man, and that's why they call you bitch. That's what kind of move that was.
Yeah, that was cold.
You didn't need to do that. I'm like, it was his path. This dude has shown to be a leader, you know, to have found God in his life, mm-hmm. you know, and he's all about his team, you know, and not about himself, you know, and maybe that thing was humbling and he went through all that and he's at a better place now. You know, he's not doing all that type of stuff. You know, he's family man and all that. And you sound like a sore loser.
Yeah.
You know, your team, you beat him last year. Okay. And then this year they came back and beat you. You know, they almost beat you if dude caught the damn ball. So, you know, but you didn't even play. You just sitting there watching back, reaping the reward of your team husband. And your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shut up.
Seriously. And I mean, it makes me sad because everybody here praises, and I'm a Broncos fan, but everybody sitting here and praises Tim Tebow for following God and God this and God that. But Ray Lewis preaches it, and we're second guessing if he's legitimate about it. It's like, what am I have to do? I did what I did. I paid my dues for it. What more do you want from me? I mean, it's like, what more do I have to do to show you I have moved on and I'm on a righteous path now? Leave him alone.
Yeah,
he won. You're right. Bitter. You lost. Your husband's finna get cut. So you're pissed. So deal with it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wes Welker may not be back with the Patriots. So that's why you're pissed. Might have to move. Sorry. Yeah.
And you're starting to see that maybe things aren't working as well, and Tom Brady is not all that savior. I mean, the dude sucks. I'm not one that's just jumping on them like, Tom Brady sucks now.
Tom Brady is a top three quarterback still in this league. Right. No questions asked.
No.
But
they lost to the better team, period. You know, so maybe they got things that, yeah, they're not the perfect team, and they got things to do. Yeah,
they
to
got
work
things
on.
They
got to
work on. You know, we knew that.
Belichick, they're not perfect. So what? This is football. It don't matter. It's one game. Every season is different.
Yep.
You can suck one year and be great the next
year. We've seen it every year.
Go to the AFC Championship and be trash like the Jets.
Yeah. The next year. Speaking of the Jets, man. Y'all said we're going to trade Darrelle Reeves. Oh, my God. Here we go again. They just can't stay out of the media. Like, they got a new GM from Seattle who I heard really isn't a, how should I put this? Isn't a real talent evaluator, more so as just a guy who knows how to fix the salary cap. So, you got a guy who really isn't the most knowledgeable about when it comes to your talent and your personnel. He can fix your money situation, but now you're talking about trading your best player. Wow. I can understand because, yes, he is going to leave next year. If he can be a free agent, he's out.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand you want to get something for him. It's going to be so hard to trade him, especially he's coming off an ACL tear. You know he's going to demand to be basically the top-paid defensive player in the league, let alone quarterback. He wants to be the top-paid defensive player in the league.
Even though he can't stay healthy.
That's what. He's gonna at least command what I want. I read somewhere that he's commanding like a $60 million signing bonus. Like, are you out of your mind? But we all know somebody is going to pay him stupidly. Somebody will trade, and from what I've been hearing, that everybody is lined up on the phone for the Jets. Like, yo, yeah, we want him. We want him. We want him.
That's why they want a first round pick for him.
And that's understandable. They want a first and a second. Now, that's getting a little greedy because you're talking about a guy who's coming off a major knee surgery, mm-hmm. is going to command may upwards, let's say $40 to $60 million guaranteed
for a defense.
And he's a cornerback. Mm-hmm. Now, we ain't talking about quarterback here. We're talking about a cornerback. Granted, he is probably arguably the best in the league, but. If I'm a team, do I want to give you a first and a second round pick and sign him to all this money? when I don't even know if he's going to be fully, if he's going to be who he was before the injury.
Yeah, I remember when they offered the first, when I saw it was a first round pick, and I was like, damn, okay. I was like, oh, Dallas a first and, oh, no, no. What the hell? You trying to make up for that money you spent on Tebow.
It's like, look, I could see a team like, I read that the Broncos are a team that is interested. I could see a team like that saying, all right, we'll give you a first round pick. We got a low first round pick, so yes, we'll give you that. We ain't giving you a first and a second round pick. And especially, we got to pay him all this money.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't happening. But New England, once again, in the Rex Ryan era, have kind of put themselves in a bad situation. Put a clause on his contract that they cannot franchise him after the season. So they're going to have to negotiate a contract with him. New York is already in shambles. They're over the cap, so they can't sign anybody. He's as good as gone. So now the question is, you're going to have to really negotiate down almost to come to a compromise and otherwise lose him for nothing. So once again, the Jets and Mike Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan and all them have just backed themselves into a wall again.
That's why they always struggling.
Yeah.
And now let's get into the other team. Into bowl.
San Francisco 49ers. You know what? Colin Kaepernick got it.
Hey.
I got to keep getting this kid some credit because he's proven to be the real deal. He looks like the future franchise quarterback of the 49ers. And he didn't even run last game, and he still kicked their butts.
Nope. 233 yards and touchdown.
But that's what he brings. He brings that. Is he going to take off? Because he can take off at any moment. You have to prepare for that. And that just... that has defensive players playing on their toes. They can't fully play the way they want to or are capable of. They always have to second guess, okay, is he going to run? Is he not? So it just...
yeah, and you still got that running game with Frank Gore.
Pounding it.
21 carries, of course. Vernon Davis showed up.
I said Vernon Davis was going to need a big game. He came out and had one. Five catches, over 100 yards and a touchdown.
No,
that's finally we on the same page.
Crabtree solid. I mean, shoot, Randy Moss might get a ring.
He might solidify. Hey, if he gets a ring, one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Yeah, he'll solidify it for sure.
He solidified for sure, for sure, for sure.
I mean, he may have the game. I don't know.
Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider the MVP of this team Kaepernick or Frank Gore? It's a very tough question to answer, but I'm because Kaepernick is get to me. I'm sorry, Kaepernick's getting a little too much credit, and Frank Gore's not getting enough credit.
I would say to me, if I'm choosing between the two, is Frank Gore, because Frank Gore is the offense. Like you are built on running the football and stopping the run, and this dude is the guy who makes it go. Like, that's part of the reason I think why these running quarterbacks can be successful. You do need a running game.
I mean, you look at the ones who have a good one, who really did flourish this year.
RG3.
Look at RG3. He had Alfred Morris. You look at Russell Wilson. He had Marshawn Lynch. Kaepernick has Frank Gore. I mean, and it goes on and on. You look at Tim Tebow when he played. Willis McGahee was playing well. So, I mean, It goes hand in hand. I mean, you look at
even with Michael Vick when he was playing. He had
LeSean McCoy, and then you look at Carolina
in Atlanta when he was doing it in Atlanta.
Then you look at Carolina, got D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. So
they don't use them.
Enough, yeah, correct.
But that's how I was done.
That's how it goes. They go hand in hand.
But he shows more explosiveness than Alex Smith. But to me, it's not outside of that. There's not a change like that. Alex Smith had control. People in this team believed
Alex Smith could scramble. Right. People forget. It's the same thing. He could run. Kaepernick has a better arm. I'll give him that. Yeah. He has a stronger arm.
And Atlanta, it's maybe sometime they'll get over that hump.
Here we go.
Close. Man, I'm so bad.
There it is. What did I say? Until they would have to dominate this game in order to be considered over that hump. Just said it best. They're not over the hump. Yes, because they didn't dominate. You couldn't squeak out a win and be over that hump.
Their D is not stepping up for them at all. I mean, it's hard because your team, your offense comes out and goes up 17-0.
This is why I'm concerned.
You know, then you're like, your D goes up, and all of a sudden, they now 17-14. You know, toning out, you know, so you go into the half, 24-14, and then that's it. Tony Gonzalez, I feel bad for Tony Gonzalez, man. God, I want, see.
I'm mad. I really feel bad that he's going out without a ring.
You know, I'm happy he got his first, because I did not want him to not have a playoff win.
Yeah.
These
are the players you feel bad for. You know, like Tony Gonzalez, who had to play with the Chiefs, who were terrible for all his years there, even though he was putting up numbers. And then you wonder, is it like, well, are those numbers inflated because his team is so weak? And then he goes to Atlanta, he's doing the same thing all the way through the end of his career. And you are just like, he could go down as the greatest tight end of all time. And he has a damn good argument. I'm a little biased because of Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
But he might be the best tight end ever to play the game and to not have a ring.
Dude, he had, like, if this was his last season, he went out, like, strong. He went out
like a champ.
Yeah, and the last couple of years, he was not a top three tight end. This year, he was like, wow, probably could be the best tight end.
I can do this again next year. But he said he may not want to. He may just ride out. But, I mean, still, regardless if he has a ring or not,
he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to ever do it. And that's what matters. I know we put a lot on rings and championships and all that, but
this is another one who is one of the greats who,
you know, is how you play.
Yeah.
You know, because they got that two-headed monster. Julio Jones, Roddy White both put up 100 yards. I mean, their offense is – you got these two dudes who are both –
You can almost see in that game, too, that – it's starting to shift a little bit. Where Roddy White had, where he was just that dude, you could slowly see it starting to shift a little bit to now Julio Jones is that dude.
Yeah, but the fact that they're just like, that's fine, pick your poison. Because, I mean, Julio Jones is like, he's young. You're like, wow, traded to get, could be the best wide receiver in that draft.
Oh, yeah, without question.
And
that question. That was one of those moves where it's like that was a smart trade on their part. They're a playoff team already. They made some moves to move up and solidify that. Houston Texans, please take note. This is what you should have been doing with Andre Johnson all these years. Move up, get that number one receiver who you know is just like, I can tandem him with him and we gonna be good, and you're set. Atlanta did the smart thing. They locked in. Roddy White's not old.
No.
He's still got years he can play, so they're going to be good for a while. So if they can get a good running back, like a solid, like another go-to guy now that Michael Turner's kind of worn, then they'll be good.
They need a defense. They need to work on their D.
Yeah.
You know, be able to give your team some help.
One of those things. Offensively, they're great, but defensively, they're suspect.
So, and we got the Harbaugh Bowl, which is funny, which I heard on the radio that there was this guy who actually coined the, who knew, you know, ahead of time and was like, I'm going to get the copyright. And the NFL was like, yeah, we want that. You got to, you know, and he was like, basically they were, you know, like we basically going almost in the sense like sue you and take it. What? And he was like, all right, well, can I get some coach tickets? No, you just got to give it up. I'm like,
that's why the NFL is weak. That's why I said if they take my plan for this Pro Bowl, I want my money. I'll sue you. I have the records to prove it.
Yeah, man. This game could go either way. Yeah, both teams
going to be a great game.
Both teams can run the ball. Both teams have good defenses. Both teams have solid quarterbacks who have something to prove. And the Super Bowl is. Hey, when media day kicks in that Wednesday, who's going to have the – it's going to be Ray Lewis's tent. It's going to be the number one spot. Everybody going to want me there.
Kaepernick,
I think, going to be number two. And then Joe Flacco.
I think Michael Crabtree, more so just because he got involved in that little issue.
Even though
he's not getting charged for it. He'll get some shine.
All these Twitter dudes.
And then, you know, you'll have your Patrick Willis's and, you know. But –
Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs. I mean, Ray
Lewis. People going to be around Terrell Suggs just because he will give you some sound bites. Terrell Suggs is going to say whatever he wants to say, and he will give you some bites.
So, man, it's going to be.
Brothers on brothers.
Randy Moss going to get some, but he going to get some like this.
And I've heard people bring this up. The only thing with the Pro Bowl is that things that have happened in your past tend to be brought back up again.
Of course, if people
everything is going to be brought back up.
Oh no! Again. So Ray Lewis is going to get asked. I just get all asked all about. Please, reporters, just all right. If you want to ask him, because it's going to be your duty to at least bring it up in some sort of way. Get that out the way.
Yeah.
Do not spend the whole damn day asking this dude about what he did the last time he was what he had to deal with in his last Super Bowl.
Exactly.
You know, leave that alone. Just give this dude some love. This is last year. Show him some respect.
Exactly.
But, man, I'm
happy. This is going to be a good game. You got two brothers, both great coaches, both great defenses, two good quarterbacks,
it's gonna be two good running backs.
Oh, my goodness.
Mama this, not going to be able to watch this game.
This is.
See, who you think is going to pull this out?
I've been riding with him the whole time since he beat my team. I got to roll with Baltimore and Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is just, like I said, he's a man on a mission. He wants it. It's like he needs it to solidify himself as just one of the greats. Like, he has to have it.
Solidify, but this will be like, you know, of course, anytime a first ballot Hall of Famer can go out with a ring, I mean, that's what you want.
That's what you want to see.
That's what you're pulling for, except for Niner fans and Wes Welker's wife. I want to see Ray Lewis get it because it's his last year. And the way the Niners are playing, I mean, they almost won came to Super Bowl last year. So, I mean, they're going to be in the mix.
I'm torn. I mean, I like players from both sides.
As long as it's a good game. I know it's a good game.
Yeah, I just don't want to see a blowout. As long as there is no blowout, I don't care who wins, personally. Right. I would like to see Ray Lewis, but if he didn't win, it wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't be upset, but you know. But
I think Baltimore's gonna pull this out. I think Flacco was ready, and I think he's going to make the plays necessary.
I think it's gonna be a really close game.
And it's almost like who has a better running game.
Predicting it now, 17-20, Baltimore wins. There it is. It'll be one on a field goal.
That's probably how it will be one.
And that is play. That's how it should come down. Defenses. Come down to a field goal. I don't want to see no, yeah, we up 28-17. We got to throw it and throw it and throw. I want to see, look, I think it's 17-17. It's 10 seconds left. You want a 50. What you going to do? That's what I want to see.
I think it might be a little more, but I'm going to go 28-24 Baltimore. I think the teams are going to put up some kind of points. These offenses are hard to stop, but yes, they got the defense to do it. And before we move on and get away from football, can we make up Titus Young, dumbass?
It's so stupid.
You know, why are you talking all that?
He's ready to get cut. He just wants to move on to another team, if another team will give him a chance.
Basically,
after
that's what
this,
it seems like.
He's under contract, and they ain't going to let him go, so.
That dude just got problems. Just play your game. The best receiver in the game is on your team. You ain't the best.
Not even the second best, probably.
No. You can just do what you want and handle it, and you'll be good. But, you know, right now you're just playing yourself out the NFL. So, see you later.
Exactly. Good luck on your future.
Well, we're going to come back. Y'all listening to the Brothers Limit Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Grew up on the third floor, was built on powdered eggs and milk. 6 years old, hoping that I don't get killed. Now is that living, or is that just better than dying? Well, the truth is, I fuck the truth, I'm better than lying. It's the electric chair, frying, I'm the nigger to the grave. Cousin to the red man, great grandson of the slave. Nowadays, though, we the niggas down but hey, we still locked in chains, within my cell phone rings. And then it brings me back to this world of rats, where we brawl and scrap to get ahead of the pack and get our hands on that platinum band, that brass ring. You know, that's the motherfucking thing we all want to achieve. Me, that's why I try to believe.
saying nothing, but just crushing. The competition's nothing. Your life, when I look in your eyes and you bluffing, it's dice. Every man got his price.
I like all my cards on the table and ain't bluffing. But this is what happens when you run out of nothing. You realize that nothing lasts forever. Life, fame, love, nothing lasts forever. I got all my cards on the table. I ain't bluffing. But this is what happens when you run out of nothing. You realize that nothing lasts forever. Life, fame, love, nothing lasts forever.
As I descend and emerge from the slums of Philly where I began, a prince covered in shit, destined to be a man. And so rule and order ye to wipe thy mouth for thy drool upon your majesty's new shoes. I mean Timberlands. I'll fuck you nigga, just move. I hear you whimpering and cowardin' ways. I set the city ablaze like an inferno. It's just a few banging beats and a couple words from my journal.
I lay all my cards on the table. I ain't bluffing, but this is what happens when you run out of nothing. You realize that nothing lasts forever. Life, pain, love, nothing lasts forever. I got all my cards on the table. I ain't bluffing, but this is what happens when you run out of nothing. You realize that nothing lasts forever. Life, pain, love, nothing lasts forever.
This game will cost you everything. Your innocence, first and last month's rent, your first love.
It's fucked up, dog. I can't fuck.
I gotta stay focused. Squishing souls like roaches in his game all day, cause it pays to be the dopest. Kill the weakest, and it can turn prestigious. Double O, end of the world, ma. Who thought we see this? Use your street smarts to get deleted, but trying to defeat us, or get blown at your Adidas. Raw cynical motive is my first thesis. Oh, fuck y'all, raw's many ways, I'm playing.
I lay all my cards on the table and ain't bluffing. But this is what happens when you run out of nothing. You realize that nothing lasts forever. Life, bang, love, nothing lasts forever. I got all my cards on the table.
Welcome back, everybody, to Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour with Chris and Jonathan.
Yes,
and before we head out, there's a couple things that we just have to address. Put it in the layman's terms. You know, we used to do every now and then. It might be time for another what the fuck moment.
It's got to be, because we got two big ones. And
what? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck?
Let's start with, I guess, the biggest one, in my opinion, which is the Manti Te'o story.
Man.
I don't know. I still don't know what the heck is going on. It's the weirdest story, especially with all this catfishing stuff coming out. All of a sudden, it's becoming big and popular. And now this just happens to come out. It's just... The dude, whoever was playing a prank on him, I mean, come on. Seriously. And I mean, at this point, I do kind of side with Manti. I kind of feel for him a little bit. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. If anybody in this world was in the position he is right now, where you come to find out that this quote-unquote chick you was talking to on the internet is not real and a dude was playing a hoax on you, would you really come out and just be like, yeah, it was a guy? No, it's embarrassing.
No, he's not going to. He is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. So I can understand why he kind of tried to fluff it up and, you know, kind of hide the truth a little bit. I understand. But it's just, let this be a lesson learned to you. We are in an age now where there's technology where everybody talks through via text, via, you know, online chats and all this stuff. If you know, even video cam and all that stuff, if you are not physically able to see this person face to face, do never trust what you are hearing over the internet from somebody you really honestly do not know. You may think you know them, but you really do not know them unless you have actually met this person. Let's be real.
It's scary. It's ridiculous. You know, it's funny because when all the catfishing popping up and, you know, that was always a scary thing. Like, do you really know who you're talking to online? I'm like, you don't. Like, how do you know that's the person that you texting? Because every now and then, you know, oh, that wasn't me. My account was hacked. Like,
exactly.
Okay, so you can just use that excuse. And, you know, people are scared to fully be themselves, so they'll use somebody else's image. And
it's scary, crazy. Man.
This dude sounded a little creepy because, you know, saying, I just wanted to get to know him. He's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a little stalkerish.
Yeah, it's kind of Stanish.
That's weird.
Yeah, and, you know, first I was like, they mentioned, like, was that him who was talking? And I'm like, it couldn't be. Like, I mean, I do side with him. I don't believe that he knew he had a, he might have kind of been a little suspicious, but I mean, it wasn't like, yeah, I knew this was a hoax the whole time. Yeah. Like, he talked
to somebody he talked to every single day that he said, you know, he and over a period of time, fell in love with over online. I don't understand it, me personally. I don't understand falling in love with somebody you've never met before. But like I said, we live in a new age now with technology and the whole match.coms and all that stuff. Right. And that's the world we live in. So it is scary. You know, working in the banking world, I hear about identity theft every single day. And it is a very scary world out there. Somebody can swipe your identity in a hot second. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, you knew he didn't want to come out with this. If he knew this during the season, come on. The run Notre Dame was having?
You knew this. If yeah.
This would have ruined their season. I'm
glad he waited. Well, jeez.
I mean, right. It came out afterwards and the season was over. But, you know, I mean, let's be honest. All right. Is he falling out the first round of the draft?
No.
No, he isn't. So...
And I don't think teams should hold it against him either. He's 22 years old. He's a young kid. He's a kid. So, you know, he got fooled. He got hoaxed. He got played for a fool. It became a national freaking story, which made it even even more embarrassing for him.
I'll take somebody being a little naive over somebody who's as for sexual assault.
Exactly. And drunk driving and marijuana smoking. I got kicked out of school for it. I snort cocaine and all. It's like, I'll take him over any of those people.
Yeah, that just leads to embarrassment. That's it. No physical harm of anybody.
And regardless of this situation, that doesn't take away from the leadership skills that he showed, you know, on the field.
Right.
He showed he can play. He can ball. He had one bad game. Granted, it was a national championship game. But, you know, we don't know if this was affecting him. You know, he pretty much knew he got hoaxed before the game.
Yeah, he can't carry a team.
There's no, we don't know if this affected him, you know, to somebody he loved, you know, for a while, and to come to find out it's a joke. Yeah, that can have a mental effect on anybody. So yeah,
it's something that I know I don't subscribe to. I'm old school. I need to see your face.
I got to see you, talk to you.
I want to talk to you.
Over the phone, not text message.
I want to match that voice to the face. Okay,
exactly. Let's go out on a date. Yeah, real one.
Right. We don't have to do that no more.
Golly. Technology. This is. Yeah. It has its good things, and it, like everything else, it has its bad side.
Yeah, please be careful. Very and much so. For people that feel like they want to lie about it, just be yourself. If somebody don't like who you are, then move on.
Exactly. The name for you.
And now on to the other person who was basically an asshole and trying to fool everybody. Is this Lance Armstrong?
Pissed me off more than anything with him is that he said he thought he wasn't cheating. He was leveling the playing field. Why? Because you have a cancer, because you have a life-threatening disease. That means you can level the playing field by cheating. That's all you're doing is basically saying anybody who is diagnosed with anything, they should be able to take steroids, HGH, to level the playing field so they can compete. That's BS. And that was the line he said that really pissed me off. And I was like, all right, I'm done with him. He's just a cheater, period.
Yeah, I actually taped his 2-day interview with Oprah, but I ain't watching. I'm like, this dude is,
a douchebag.
You want to cheat? Okay. But if people who, you know, you're going to affect other people's lives because of your cheating, exactly. You try to ruin people's lives and, you know, do some soap opera crap where you going to snitch on me? Oh, okay, guess what? You losing your job. You ain't going to have a job nowhere. Like, what the hell? You know, I'm making you and your family homeless. Like, for what?
I don't know. Mentally, he's not there. I don't know what it is. I know his kids, you know, believed him and he wasn't lying, and he said that had an effect on him and blah blah blah.
He wanted to win at any means necessary, and he didn't care who he hurt.
All he did really was screw up lies for everyone, and now you're gonna have this cloud floating over, cycling now, and anybody who wins, I'm like, who did they cheat? Did they cheat? That's all you did was just open that door.
Right. Everybody's like, they use a lot of cheating. I'm like, look, everybody does something to try to get an extra hand in any sport. But yeah, this dude is, nobody cares about you. You know, a lot of people cared about your foundation, even the cancer. So those folk don't lose faith. And, you know, there are people who are trying to do good with that money. And I hope he was, but you're a dick.
Yeah, period. That's what it sums up to. I believe it.
And on a quick note that we just found out today, sad to say for Celtics fans that Rajon Rondo's out, torn ACL, out for the season.
Trust me, folks, I feel your pain as a Bulls fan. I know the pain you are feeling right now. As soon as you saw him get hurt, I felt it.
Right,
I saw him in the playoffs last year. It was like, oh my God, no. And this God.
Yeah.
Just be patient. That's all I can say. For somebody who has experienced it and is waiting for him to come back very soon, just be patient. He will be back. Just don't rush him. That is the one thing. Do not rush him back. He will come back when he is healthy. And if the Celtics ever needed some help, God, this is not what they need.
This is the time, Danny Ainge. This is your sign. Make your changes now.
Yep.
Got
to make a move.
Yeah, it wasn't coming together. You know, you've rolled this joint. Nah, I hope not for Clipper fans. Not like Bledsoe. But, I mean, it's time to, you know, well, DeMarcus Cousins is off the table with that move. But it's time to get younger.
Yeah.
You know, you got Avery Bradley. You know, Rajon Rondo now is not going. You're not going to be able to trade him. So, yeah. I hate to see Paul Pierce and one of them go. But you're going to have to make some moves.
You got to make a move, and God, it really puts a question mark now on, you know, their playoff run and their playoff chances.
Yeah,
because Rajon Rondo was the catalyst for the team. He almost can give you a triple double on any given night, so it's like, oof, they're gonna miss him deeply.
Yeah, now you're putting more pressure on Pearson Garnett, which, you know, may cause another injury. So,
and you really, I mean, in all honesty, they don't really have a solid, I would say, backup point guard either. You got Barbosa, you got Jason Terry, but you don't really have a point guard guy who can run the squad. So.
Doc's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, he got to figure out something. So this is what good coaches do. They figure out how to make it work in times like this. So,
and so who do you think they're going to replace him in the All-Star game now? I'm pulling for Brook Lopez. Get him, make the team.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Brook Lopez. It's going to
–
a starter. That's the only thing. I guess if you're going to put a reserve.
And, I would hope that.
But are they going to go to, I guess, who was second behind, you know,
right,
whoever he was as far as fame bound to go. So it could be anybody. So I don't know. Would like to see Brook Lopez make it. Think he should make it at this point.
Yeah, he should have. Or Josh Smith.
But we don't know.
No, so. All right. We want to thank y'all once again for tuning into the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. As always, you can contact us a few different ways. You can hit us up on email, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslehman, or you can leave a message at the Happy Hour hotline, 323-455-4219. You can hear our podcast on Stitcher and iTunes, and you can always find us on www.blackisonline.com. If you've been checking this out, please check out the other great podcasts that Black Is Online has. Culture Connection with Brother Malcolm.
Brother Malk.
And the always entertaining and the one that carries it down, the Black Is Break featuring KC Lehman.
Yes, sir. What up, sis? All right. And from the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour with your hosts Chris and Jonathan, we'll be giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all. Holla.